Cookson. BBC. I was once driving actually the same route that I was talking about with my husband, and I just told him all the names that I've got for everything. He was like, oh dear. Anyway, 7:21. It is the wake-up call. Thank you to Fiona in Rochester who got in touch earlier on saying, super proud of Maidstone United. They did their best and unfortunately it was not to be this year, but there's always next year. Exactly. There's always next year. There's always the league, you know, back to the day job in that sense. So more on that on the way. Now, though, let's go back to medicine shortages. We've talked about it quite a lot, actually, haven't we, since the beginning of the year, for different conditions, diabetes, epilepsy, we spoke about here on the Wake Up Call last week. We're also hearing there's a national shortage of drugs for ADHD as well, which is causing real difficulties for children and young people. That's according to the Royal College of Psychiatrists. The Department for Health and Social Care says an increase in global demand and manufacturing issues are behind the shortages. So similar issues than to the other conditions. Well, let's find out more. We can talk now to Henry Shelford, who has ADHD and set up the charity ADHD UK 4 years ago to try to raise awareness about the condition. Henry, welcome to the Wake Up Call. First of all, I want to check you're all right. Are you having difficulty getting your own medication?
I am. National Patient Alert was issued in September, and and we were told to be either no or very spotty supply, and I've not had my proper medication. Well, I've had it once since then. So since September, I've had my proper medication once.
I'm sorry. So two things then to help us all understand what's going on here. First of all, let's go back to basics. What is ADHD? And then we can go on and talk about what the medicine does and how it's difficult without having it. But let's start, because a lot of people are thinking, oh, yeah, I kind of know what ADHD is. So let's talk about that.
That's a great question. It's actually one of the reasons I founded the charity. It was that every time I said, I've got ADHD, people kind of, often very kindly, just went, oh, one, you're not a small little body running around, so what are you? And I don't really know much about it, can I ask? And that then causing its own problem, that some people are more interested or not, and then they'd be more open to me being different or not. And it's, first of all, it's the worst name mental health condition, disorder, and it's wildly negative, deficit disorder, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and it's wrong, right? I don't have a deficit of attention. I have a lack of control of my attention, and that means my attention cascading away from one thing to another to another to another, but not holding as I need it to, with periods also of hyperfocus, of zoomed in but hours and hours and hours. And that's great if it's the right thing, but a massive problem if it's the wrong thing. And hyperactivity, sort of the physical sense, not a requirement. Like, you don't have to be a small boy running around. You can be a girl who's constantly distracted by and just using their energy to chat or to distract in the classroom, or use energy in different ways. And look, it's only diagnosed if it's having a debilitating impact on your life. Like, if there's a very big difference between the normal issue of focus versus ADHD, and that's the same. It's very different between, you know, depression and sadness, chronic anxiety and anxious on a first date. Like, the chronic issue of focus that someone has with ADHD, and we know how difficult it is, most brutally, frankly, through the statistics on suicide. So we know that 1 in 10 men or boys with ADHD will at some point try and take their own life, and it's 1 in 4 women or girls with ADHD, 1 in 4 will at some point try and take their own life. And I think people don't realise and recognise how tough living with ADHD really is, that it impacts every aspect of your life. You know, it deprives you of being able to relax, of being able to read a book, a magazine, a television show. Like, it is just so hard.
So difficult. And when did you first get diagnosed? Because that can be a problem as well, can't it, getting that diagnosis?
Absolutely, it can. I mean, like, it's honestly, it's completely wild. So, like, in the UK, one, we didn't recognise ADHD, although one of the very first countries to recognise it. So, something 18 something, but it took us until the year 2000 to recognise it for children, and 2008 for adults. So, people like me, there's no chance getting picked up in school, and it's why you're seeing lots of adults coming forward now. It's not like we went from zero to hero. We're still underdiagnosed. But if you think you've got ADHD, then the thing to do is go to our site. As an example, we've got an adult ADHD screener designed to pick up people who were missed as children, designed by the World Health Organization, Harvard University, and then go to your GP. But it varies so much, right? It varies in how much your GP knows, but the wait lists vary from 12 weeks, which is pretty good, to 10 and a half years.
What?
That's for adults, and for children, it varies from 5 weeks to 5 years. You're a 13-year-old child, you age out before you see someone because you've now got to have an adult diagnosis, you pass 18. And if you've got the misfortune to move to where it's 10 and a half years, you're going to be near your, that 13-year-old child is going to be near their 30th birthday before they get a diagnosis.
That's hideous. That's so difficult, isn't it? Because presumably it's that diagnosis that enables you to go on and actually thrive with ADHD.
It is. People talk about it, and certainly for me, it's absolutely life-changing. You go from, the metaphor is like, you go from being amazed, it's like you're being amazed with the lights off, and you're looking into things, looking to people. You don't understand why it's so hard to move, to navigate your life. And then a diagnosis turns the lights on, and suddenly you can see your mates, right? You can understand why you're different, why you're doing things different, why you need to do things differently. And that unlocks like so much. And people talk about it being completely life-changing. They also talk often about having been past diagnoses of anxiety, of depression, and actually the thing that needed to unlock was the fact that they had ADHD.
Yeah. And so what do the drugs do? How do they help?
So they're a helping hand. So we know between 50 and 75% of people with diagnosis opt for medication. And so we've got just over 200,000 people opting for medication in the UK. So about 400,000 of 2.6 million have a diagnosis. It's a helping hand. It's not a cure. It wears off by the end of the day. Not addictive for those people who worry about that. So we have a group of people who have to put in pretty serious strategies to remember to take up medication. Yeah. Which is not something you see in addictive behaviour. I'd say like, it helps me control my focus. Instead of it cascading away, I can stay on the thing I want to stay on. It gives me a peace in it. And if I'm completely honest, it helps me be more me. Like be the me I know I am and can be, and it does make a very big difference. And when we're talking about this medication crisis, the way we're explaining it is, removing this medication the way it has so suddenly, it's like taking a wheelchair away from a disabled person that needs it. In that, if you take that chair away, they don't die, but they can't work in the same way. They can't be with their friends and family in the same way, or study in the same way. They can't be in the same way. And that's exactly the same as taking the medication away from a disabled person with ADHD, that needs it.
So how are you managing day to day then? It sounds really difficult.
This has been a moment where, as in running the charity and doing what I've been set up to do, you felt you need to be your absolute best, be absolutely on point to help everyone and to try and help in this situation. And at the same time, you're being crippled by having your own medication removed. And that has been very difficult. I've been pretty lucky. I've been able to have some form of medication throughout, varying amounts and varying strengths. So unlike the majority of you, either had none or had to ration, I've not had to, but it has been very, very difficult, and it has been very stressful. Just the idea that suddenly your capability is going to be, 80% of it's going to be whipped away from you, and you don't know which 80%, you don't know which 20% you're going to be able to do.
Goodness.
Each day.
Yeah.
And knowing what you've got to do, it has been very hard, and it's hard across the country. And, we know people who've lost their jobs. They've been given an alternative medication, been told it's going to be similar. Their work's been impacted, and their boss has gone, look, we had this problem. You had issues with your work. You told me they were sorted. The issues are back again. We can't do this again. You're out.
Awful. Just hideous. It just goes to show the consequences. Look, we're so sorry that you're going through this at the moment. Let's hope that those shortages are stopped or straight away. I'll get to the government statement in just a moment. We'll have to leave it there for time reasons because it is 7:30. But Henry, once again, brilliant to talk to you. Thank you for joining us here on the Wake Up Call. Henry Shelford is from the charity ADHD UK. I wonder if you're in the same boat. Does that strike a chord listening to that this morning? You can give us a call. 0800 756 1111. How are you managing? And again, we just hope things can be rectified really, really soon. The government sent us this statement. We've taken swift action to improve the supply of ADHD medications, but we know some challenges remain and understand this may be distressing to patients and families. We're working with the industry to help resolve any issues as soon as possible. Any patient who's worried about their condition should speak to their clinician. And we'll have more on this later on in the show, actually. We'll speak to someone who has two children with ADHD on the Isle of Sheppey. And again, they are struggling to get hold of that crucial medication. Right now, though, as I mentioned, it's 7:30. Let's get the headlines with John.
Thanks, Anna. Good morning. Health leaders say the NHS is under severe pressure as junior doctors in England begin a fourth